Welcome to Coffee Table Mythos. I'm Eliza.
And I'm Leah.
Grab your favorite beverage and let's talk myths. What you drinking?
I am drinking a black cherry vanilla bang right out of the can. Yeah. What are you drinking?
I am drinking strawberry sublime rain total body fuel. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like the orange dreamsicle flavor more. It tastes literally like an orange vanilla popsicle from childhood. But this one's not bad.
Not that my dad should necessarily drink energy drinks, but that orange creamsicle one he'd probably like because he always really liked those orange Julius slushies.
Yeah. It literally tastes like that.
Basically what they are, yeah.
And if I have to talk about the difference between like a Reign and a Bang, Bang has creatine in it, which for all my workout buffs out there, creatine's used by a lot of fitness professionals for endurance purposes, generally. Some people give a lot of people that drink creatine a hard time, saying that they're trying to basically bulk up and get bigger, but that's not really what it's doing. It's at least not what it should be doing. It just retains a lot of water when you first start drinking it. But we've been drinking creatine for a while, so...
In many forms.
So that's not really the issue. Reign does not have creatine in it, but it still gives the amino acids, which I desperately need because my ass is super sore still.
From your workout yesterday?
From my workout yesterday, yeah. Getting back into it.
Well, I mean, you have been exercising almost every day.
6 days a week now, again. Before,
but it was, like, different types of exercise.
Yeah. This week's Norse?
Yes, ma'am.
You ready?
Yes, ma'am.
What are we talking about today on your end?
None your business. End of episode. Oh, just kidding.
That was the shortest episode we've ever done.
No. So, for this week, I decided to talk about Yule.
Or I'm so excited.
The other word they use for it is Yule. J-O with an accent L.
Yule.
Yule.
Yule. Yule! Merry tidings! No, I'm sorry.
And I'm going to try to cover how and why it was celebrated in the past, and then also how modern families celebrate it now.
Cool. Cool, cool, cool.
So, a long time ago, Yule was celebrated over 12 days. It began on December 20th and went through December 31st.
That's pretty legit.
One tradition was the Yule log, and they would pretty much cut down like an entire tree. Like, it'd be a gigantic log.
I want that.
We don't have a fireplace.
Dad does. I could chop it down. Well, I mean, I would be good, and we would use all of it.
So I'm getting into that.
Okay.
Basically, they would take those saved remains of the previous year's Yule log and use that to light the new year's Yule log.
Oh, that's cool.
And then people would take turns feeding this giant log into the fire so that it wouldn't burn out.
What?
It was believed to be bad luck if it went out. The Yule log was a symbol that the light would return to the world since these were the longest nights of the year.
Oh, so whoever was doing a Yule log last year, it must have gone out. Because, I don't know about y'all, but this year's been pretty hefty.
They're fired.
They're fired.
They are no longer allowed to
handle the Yule log. How many days do we have until the 20th?
So when this is coming out on the 19th, we'll only have 2-3 more days, depending on the solstice this year.
So, guys, we need to really work hard
with our Yule logs,
and make sure they don't go out. Because I need 2021 to be a better year by far. Please and thank you.
So, depending on how far north these people were, because Yule was celebrated in a lot of different areas.
Cool.
Depends on if they even really saw light at all.
Oh.
Because some of them are really far north.
Oh, like it was...
Closer to, like, the Arctic Circle.
Kind of like how in Alaska, mm-hmm. it's, like, dark for months at a time. Yeah. I think it's like that. I think it's, like,
Yeah.
Something like that.
40 or 50 days. It's something so crazy.
Yeah, like for days, it is just dark out. Mm-hmm. So basically, that's kind of what you're talking about.
Yep.
Got it.
So one of the traditions about the longest nights was one of the nights people would climb like the nearest hill and mountain and see if they could see the light coming back.
Oh, what? So they're making sure when the sun's going to be back up.
Mm-hmm. And some people still use a Yule log as part of modern day celebrations. I know around here on the East Coast of America, you can purchase them at like hardware stores, and they're generally birch, but different people's used oak, some used birch, some used the trees that were native to their area.
That's pretty cool.
And then also, in some people, instead of using actual wood that they burn, will make a like food Yule log out of like pastry or cake and like toppings and stuff.
That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
All it makes me think of is there's a song that I sang in show choir in high school where it was like, throw the Yule log on Uncle John.
Okay,
that's what I remember.
Why are we throwing logs at people?
No. Like, they're telling Uncle John
to throw the
Yule log on. At least that's what I'm hoping. That's...
Now you're doubting you.
I'm doubting my innocence. My clear understanding is not so clear. Just don't mind me.
So, these days, Yule is usually celebrated with feasts and drinking, and it's generally a time to spend with family and friends, you know, when we're not in the middle of a pandemic.
Right.
It was believed that during the winter solstice, Othin would come down from Asgard and disguise himself to walk among the humans. He became known as Old Man Winter, and he would ride around on Sleipnir, his 8-legged gray horse. Sleipnir was so fast he could travel the entire world in one night.
Wow.
Children used to leave out hay and sugar in their boots for Sleipnir to eat on his journey. And Othin would then leave gifts for the children in thanks because they were kind to his horse.
Aw, that's cute.
Yule also marks the resurrection of Baldur and his return from the realm of hell, which I did not know was a thing. I thought Baldur was done, and then he did not come back. But apparently there's a resurrection story.
Oh, you didn't know about that?
No.
Oh, we can get into that later. that's a whole story.
Yeah, that would be part of an episode.
That would have to be a whole episode talking about Baldur. We'll get there eventually, guys, don't worry.
One night of Yule was called the Mother Night, where Frigga and the Disir were honored. And the Disir were your ancestral female spirits that, like, looked after your family.
Aw, that's sweet.
Some places still also celebrate Mother Night, except instead of it being called Mother Night, it's known by their local dialect.
Oh, okay.
Traditionally, there was also an all-night vigil to make sure that the sun rose again after the longest night.
Okay.
And to welcome the sun when it rose.
Cool, cool.
Also, apparently, the Wild Hunt is the most active during this time, which we kind of already knew because they're active from Winter Nights to Valfspurgisnacht. And the dead were said to come back to share feasts with the living during this time. The elves and other magical beings roamed freely, so you either needed to ward against them or to welcome them in to your feast so that they looked kindly on you because you were sharing.
Oh, yes.
So, because of, like, the feasts, boars were sacrificed to Freyr and roasted. Strong oaths were made during this time.
Mm.
Fir and pine trees were brought inside to represent Yggdrasil, and holy items were hung from their limbs.
Mm.
Then when Christianity came to Northern Europe, many of these traditions were merged with Christian holidays to make the conversion easier. So, obviously, Othin became Santa or Father Christmas. Sleipnir became his reindeer. The oaths became New Year's resolutions, though to break Old Norse oaths meant punishment, unlike now where we're all just very upset with ourselves.
I just want to interject for a moment here. Just because they made, what you said, Santa out of Othin does not mean Othin by any way, shape, or form is the equivalent to Santa.
No.
Because Othin, character-wise, very different being than Saint Nick.
Right.
And I just wanted to make that note. Because there, I've seen things online where people are like, it's basically Santa and Othin are the same person. No, they're not. It was literally the Christianized way of making this being.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't want that to be misinterpreted from whatever you're saying.
So the boars are now Christmas hams, trees, Christmas trees. The treats for Sleipnir became cookies for Santa. The 12 days of Yule became the 12 days of Christmas, and so on and so forth.
So basically everything we know about Christmas is a lie.
Yes. Usually it's just pulled from older traditions.
Yep, there we go.
We have a book that we have mentioned before by Helene A. Gerber called Myths of the Norsemen. And in that book, she has a blurb from another author named Nell Georges.
Hmm.
And it describes a tradition that apparently took place in some parts of England, Germany, and along the banks of the Moselle, which was people there would find an old wagon wheel that was really worn, and they would stuff it with hay and things like that. They would take it up a hill or a mountain. They would light it on fire, and then they would roll it down the hill so that it would crash into a river below and extinguish.
That sounds like something a boy would have made up. Or kids. Like a group of kids got together and were like, you know what would be a great idea? No, someone drunk.
It does sound like something someone drunk like, would do.
You could see a whole group of college kids together and being like, you know what would be cool? We're gonna set this wheel on fire and just roll it down a hill into this big thing of water and see if it extinguishes. What if it doesn't? Don't worry. YOLO. We're not gonna live that long. So.
Oh my god. Yeah, I think it sounds dangerous, but apparently some places did do this. But apparently the purpose was to symbolize the sun and also to throw away mischief.
Throw it away.
So if you wanted to celebrate Yule these days, you could do so by waking up early and greeting the sun at sunrise.
Aww.
You can honor your ancestors with food or gifts. You could learn how to make mead, which was a large part of the old celebrations.
I'd like to learn how to make mead.
There's whole kits you can buy online.
I know.
But also, you can just, like, look up how to do it online, and you can make it without a lot of the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't want to make your own mead, you could certainly just buy some to go with your Yule feast. And another way to celebrate is to offer bloat to the gods.
That's pretty cool. I think the only problem I'd have with, like, learning how to make mead is I don't drink very often. So, like, I'd make it be like, this is wonderful!
Now what do I do with it?
Yeah. Exactly.
It's more like a science experiment.
Pretty much. Do you want to talk about the sibling furry animal being added to the family?
Yes.
That lovely bundle of joy will be coming home.
So, as kind of a mini celebration, our family is getting another fur baby. We're going to say he's my little brother because he's technically, my dad is the one getting him.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a red fox Labrador. And Dad already picked out his name. It's going to be Ruger Phoenix Rising.
Mm-hmm.
Because apparently the symbol for the root company Ruger is a phoenix. And we're already like prepping the house and getting toys and getting snacks and ordering food. So that it'll be all ready when he comes home on his gotcha day.
And then Dova's been getting her scent on pretty much everything. That
Yeah, she just goes and all her fur comes off so
yeah.
that he knows who she is.
And we also already got the Christmas tree up.
Yep, did that this morning.
We did that this morning. Instead of, because normally we record early, like soon
Very
after
early.
We wake up. Well, after you wake up. I've been awake usually for a few hours by that time.
Octopus.
That's not octopus. While you're sleeping, I'm posting the episode on the interwebs. Anywho's it. We decided to just do the Christmas tree thing today because we didn't want to have to worry about doing anything else the rest of the weekend.
Yeah, we wanted to relax.
Yeah, we wanted to have some chill time. Although chill time for us is like, for a little bit we'll be, you know, chilling, and then all of a sudden we're already researching the next topic.
Yeah.
That's really what happened.
or drawing. Like, someone will be playing a video game, and then the other person will be drawing.
Or researching.
Yeah.
Or writing whatever they're writing out. It's fine.
And then we'll switch, and I'll do the painting, and you'll take up the game, and...
Yeah. It's like, I mean, we still play, but we work. It was funny because, I'm back at the office now, and we're doing winter festivities at the office, which is really exciting that we still get to do that. So they got, like, what, the ugly sweater contest, and there's gonna be, like, a pajama day, work appropriate for various reasons. We've been really busy at the office, or we're going to be very busy at the office, but this last week wasn't as crazy, so I was making, like, all these PowerPoints for certain topics to help some of my peers learn certain things that I'd already been working with, like, the new people with for a very long time. And my one coworker was like, you probably don't have a life outside of work. And I look at her and I'm like, girl, I do so much outside of work. I get to work early because I'm posting poetry on my Instagram, part of a poetry group. Which, by the way, I don't know if I already told you this or not, but I'm having another poem published in an anthology over in the UK.
You did not, but congratulations.
This coming month, yeah. It's just a random poem I wrote, because I just took this guy, he does prompts, I need to send them to you. And if you include him, he picks certain poems and he'll include it in his anthology every month that he publishes.
Mm-hmm.
And then he gives you the whole lowdown of the copyrights and everything, but it's kind of nice. So yeah, I do that before work, and then I work, and then after work, I either get ready for the next day or I'm working on the next project. Like,
you have zero chill.
I have some chill.
You have a percentage of a chill.
I have a percentage of a chill, yeah. It's like my grandpa always used to say, don't work so hard. And it's like, I have to. Grandpa, I gotta make the monies.
Make the money so that we can spoil Dova.
More so pay bills.
That too.
And feed Dova. And be able to take her on WALKs. I will not say it out loud.
She has sonic ears and she will hear us through the floor.
Yep. Anywho's it. We're going to take a short break and we'll be right back to talk about elves. And we're back.
Speaking of backs, my entire family is having back problems right now.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Tell them about it.
So my mom, like, always has back problems because she hurt her back 10 plus years ago.
Doesn't she have multiple herniated discs?
Yes.
Okay.
My dad just hurt himself while working on the house, hurt his back. And then I have been covering different centers at work. And when I'm in my cubby, I have a non-ergonomic chair that's super old. It's possibly older than I am, and I have no problems. But when I cover these other centers, they have these ergonomic chairs that are supposed to make it so you don't get back pain. Well, it gives me back pain. So my back has been having spasms for like the last 2 weeks.
You should have seen her today in the Starbucks line. It was bad.
Just like, oh, we're almost done. We're almost out of here.
So anyway, today we're going to talk about elves on my end, and half-elves. I'm specifically going to talk about a certain half-elf, but I will disclose that later. But before I can talk about half-elves, you have to know what an elf is in Norse mythology. So in the Prose Edda, there are two types of elves, done by Snorri...
Sturluson?
Yes. There are two types of elves. There are the dark elves, which are actually pronounced Dúkulver, and the light elves, which is pronounced Jolsólver, which the last five letters is what means elf, and it's pronounced Ólver or Ólvar, There's like a huge thing, a debate about this, because you only see these two different types in the prose Edda.
Okay.
Not in the other.
The poetic Edda.
Yeah, the poetic Edda. So there's a lot of debate on this, on whether Snorri made this up, or if it was that way beforehand, if it had Christian influences. There's like this whole thing. But there's also a theory that Ulvr is used to encompass those that are like of magical descent, but they're not quite at the same level as the gods. Does that make sense?
Almost like a demigod?
Well, no, it's like encompassing all beings, like the dwarves and the elves and of those things. So that's a possibility. And then there's stories that specifically say that there were elves. Like, it's, and there's also like the theory that the elves and the dwarves were same. Like, they're like the same beings or the same family class. Now, there's also the Svartalfum, which are the black elves, and they're also possibly the same as the Dulkulver, which are the dark elves. So the light elves live in Alfheim. They're described as more beautiful than the sun. The dark elves are described as blacker than ink, and they dwell in the earth, which is why there's the theory that they might be one and the same.
Or as like dwarves?
As dwarves, yeah.
Okay.
Because in Norse mythology, the dwarves always lived in the earth. So these elves by Snorri, they're unsure if these distinctions are created by Snorri, if they were already a developed concept. Some believe that the subclassification is from possible Christian influence, and others believe this has always been a possible subclassification pre-Christian influence. There is a chance the terms for black elves and dark elves were interchangeable, and the whole reason I was even looking at elves is because I was looking at the fact that there were even half-elves.
Right.
So, half-elves are the offspring of an elf and a human. One of the examples I found was the story of Skuld in Rolf's Saga Kraka. Yes, that's what it was called. So the story goes, one Yule, King Helgi was visited by an ugly being while he was in his hunting house, where no one except Helgi was allowed to enter. The being requested to sleep in Helgi's bed, and although unwilling, he agreed. As the being got into his bed, it became a dark, elvish woman in silk, the most beautiful woman he had ever seen.
Okay, so the dark elves aren't necessarily ugly, they're just, their skin is like the color of ink.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, no, in no way, shape, or form did I hear or see anything that would describe them as ugly.
Okay.
There are two versions of this story. There's the Disney-friendly version, and here's a warning.
Trigger warning?
Trigger warning for sexual trauma. Go ahead 15 seconds. He raped her and made her pregnant. Helgi conveniently forgot he raped her, and a few days after giving birth, Helgi was visited by the woman with Skuld in her arms. The woman left, like, I put the woman left Skuld with Helgi, but with, like, a question mark. So, Skuld later was married to Hjorvarður, when Skuld's half-brother was king of the Danes, Hrólfr Kraki, which is the name of the saga. Skuld began to turn her husband against her half-brother.
Does it say why? Because, like, I'm in for the drama now.
No, but it gets better. Okay. Oh, this gets so dramatic. You're gonna love this. Okay. Skuld assembled a large army of warriors, criminals, elves, and Norns.
Yeah. She's like, we're getting the Norns in on this, too. Okay.
She was a great sorceress and used Seether, which I put witchcraft question mark.
Yes, pretty much.
To hide the army from her half-brother and his men. She took 3 years to accumulate this huge motherfucking army.
She's in it for the long
game. She is. So they arrive at Leir, one Yule, for midwinter blots, with all weapons hidden in wagons to ambush the king at night. A battle ensued, and an account found in Gresta Dranorum, Bodvar Bjarki fought in the shape of a spirit bear. There are berserkers. You heard of berserkers, right?
Right, yep.
So, apparently, there are certain berserkers that were known to shapeshift, and a spirit bear was basically a berserker that shapeshifted into a bear.
Okay.
So, to overcome him, Skuld cast a powerful spell to resuscitate her fallen warriors, and fought until Hrolfr's champions fell, except for this guy named Vulgar, who promised to avenge his king. Skuld became queen of Denmark, but only ruled for a short time and not very well.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
I know, I was you're so disappointed.
You're able to overthrow somebody, but you're not going to rule well.
I know, right? So eventually a Swedish queen, Ursa, gave an army led by Vulgar to the brother of Bodvar, the spirit bear guy.
Okay.
They seized Skuld by surprise by tying her arms so she could not use any magic, and ultimately tortured her to death in the most dreadful ways.
Oh.
The daughters took rule of the kingdom. After all this shenanigans, this is literally what it said in the story, everyone went home.
What? Yeah. What? Yeah.
I was like, what? I was reading the story and they're like, and after all this, they went home. And I'm like, I feel like I'm reading The Hobbit.
Like, I am late tired.
I am late tired. This is too much. Too much drama. Now that was just one of the famous half-elves of Norse mythology.
Not to be confused with the Skuld of the North.
Exactly. Not the same person. So when you look it up on Google, you do Skuld Princess.
Okay.
That's how you find her. And then there's Hogni, who was another famous half-elf that was a hero in Thadric's saga, born to a human queen when an elf visited her while the king was away. I know, scandalous.
Suggestive eye wiggle. Yes. Eyebrow wiggle.
It's from the saga of Didrik of Bern, which was a Norwegian saga from a scholar supposedly in the 1200s. That's when it supposedly was written. Now, I found some more information about elves from another website that had a lot of citations from the Prose Edda and some of the other stories that I've been listening to some audiobooks. So they were known to have ambivalent relations with humans and commonly cause illnesses in humans, but have the power to heal them. They are especially willing to heal them if sacrifices are offered.
Figures.
Half-elves often have more the appearance of humans with intuitive and magical powers. Supposedly, humans can become elves after death with overlap between worship of humans' ancestors and worship of elves. I looked at where that came from, and the citation was from Prose Edda. And I'm like, I don't know where in the Prose Edda it says that. But what it said was, is that back then, there was an overlap between them worshipping both their ancestors and elves. Half-elves are featured in D&D. Elves themselves are in all sorts of media to this day. J.R.R. Tolkien's Lord of the Rings, Warhammer, World of Warcraft, Elder Scrolls, the list goes on. They're literally fucking everywhere.
I wonder if there's any relation to the Iceland elves. Mm-hmm. Do you remember there was that lore episode by Aaron Mankey where he talks about the elf stones,
mm-hmm,
and stuff, how like they build roads around the stones because you do not disturb
the elves.
The stones. Yeah. Yeah. I wonder if there's any similarities between these elves and those elves.
Possibly. I mean, I wouldn't want to fuck with these guys. They can make you real sick.
Right.
Unless you, like, give them a sacrifice of some sort.
Maybe they'll like mead if you make it and don't drink any. I was going to ask what's up with the other pages.
Okay, so I originally wrote down the Disney-friendly version.
Yeah.
But here's the other thing. So you know how it was kind of odd how it went from that transition from the elf getting pregnant,
mm-hmm,
and all of a sudden Skuld's an adult and married to this guy? Mm-hmm. Well, this version, the way it read was that she told Helgi that he had freed her from a curse and she asked to leave. And King Helgi requested she stay and marry him. She agreed to marry him, and that's when they slept together. And they had a child, and she asked the King Helgi to visit the child the next winter at the harbor. The king forgot to visit the child, so 3 years later, the elf told Helgi the child's name was Skuld, which means what you should do, and she said the king would gain the reward for breaking the curse, but the king's people would suffer as the king did not do as she had asked. She never came back, but Skuld was always angry. But do you blame her?
No, and then my other question is, when she showed up with the baby in the first one,
mm-hmm,
was the baby left with the king, and she was raised as a princess?
See, I don't know. That's not told in these stories, and I had these same questions, and I'm like, I don't fucking know. It looks like they just jumped from one thing to the other, because obviously the upbringing of a woman's not important.
Well, it just makes me wonder, like, why would you overthrow someone who treated you well?
Right. Unless you were treated badly. Mm-hmm. Also, you gotta remember, her half-brother, who was probably, like, the full human, was given the kingdom. Mm-hmm. So maybe she felt some kind of way that she wasn't, like... Maybe she felt like she was kind of thrown to the side and not treated well. That's
possible, yeah.
I don't know, because I didn't
get... It's all left out.
It's all left out. Just from the other version I read, I was like, that makes more sense. Like, if he basically forgot about her and was... And she was like, hey, you have a daughter. And he was like, oh.
Whoops.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, dude, come on. Anywho.
So that's...
That's Half Elves. That's basically... That's mostly the story of Skuld. I know it's not necessarily, like, winter-related, but I figured because a lot of that story happened on Yule.
Right.
It was always on Yule. Like, in the middle of Yule. On, like, on one Yule. Like, it doesn't say specifically which Yule, but on one Yule.
Mm-hmm.
This happened, and then there was a great battle, and there was a bear, and you're like, oh, shit, spirit bear. I didn't even know this was a fucking thing. But yeah.
I wonder if the... Was the battle on Yule?
Yeah.
I wonder if the reason... that the battle was on Yule was because her army was made out of, like, these magical beings, and they are more active.
During that time. Mm-hmm. That would make more sense.
So she just was like, you know what, they're gonna be the most powerful then. That's when we're gonna sack the kingdom.
And she uses fucking necromancy. I mean, come on.
Yeah. That was, I was surprised when you went there.
Yeah. Yeah, I was too. I was like, okay. All right. Anyway, so we have winter solstice and Christmas coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel ready?
Yeah, I think everything's purchased and wrapped already.
Yeah.
What we do, some of my sisters and I, since we celebrate both solstice and Christmas, kind of more from the Celtic pagan mm-hmm. side than the heathenry side, but we call it Solmas.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's basically just sometime in the middle there, like the 23rd. That's a good day.
That's a good day. Why not?
So we are all pretty much all set. Decorations are up. Presents have been shipped across country to various family members.
Yeah.
Holiday season cards have been sent out as well.
Yeah. I wasn't expecting to have to do Secret Santa at work, but I got my Secret Santa stuff situated.
Right. My work people are all done too.
That's good.
But I know about that because we've been doing it for years. We just buy for our little section of people.
Yeah. Like, I kind of got thrust into a group, and like, the first day I started working in that team, they're like, you gonna participate in Secret Santa? I was like, yes, I am now. Like, I would have felt bad if I didn't.
Well, if you don't put your name in to buy for someone, you don't get a present.
That's so, like, true. I kind of wanted a present.
But that's fair.
I did. Guess the three things that I put as, like, things I'd want. Because I changed it because they had to put it in, like, three different times. So I finally, like, was like, fuck it, I'm gonna put three different things.
Something music related?
No.
Something bear related?
No.
Something art related? Like pens or something?
Well, the first one definitely is related. Sketchbook.
Okay.
Second thing I said was anything Baby Yoda.
Oh.
Third thing I said was pencil caddy for my desk.
Oh, to hold all your stuff.
Mm-hmm. To hold, like, all my pens and my pencils. Be nice to have, like, a little place on there to do that.
Be organized,
yeah. I mean, it's a work-appropriate thing. But anywho's it. We're gonna try again on the fondue thing.
Yeah, except we're gonna wing it.
Yeah.
So we're gonna try using Gouda, and then we have, like, a Guinness leftover, so we're gonna use Guinness instead of wine.
You know, we have more than one Guinness left.
Well, I was gonna save one for...
Bread.
For bread.
Yeah.
But the thing is, what happened with the last one was sometimes the oven doesn't preheat all the way. Mm. And I think that was one of the times.
Gotcha.
And I just didn't realize that the oven wasn't all the way hot. And that's why it took so long.
It's been doing a lot better at that lately, knock on wood.
So I was thinking Guinness bread.
Okay. We also got these little mini pretzel balls to dip in the fondue.
Fondue.
Fondue and pretzels.
Anyway, we hope everyone is staying safe and staying healthy and having a good holiday season, no matter what you're celebrating right now.
Yes.
Because as we're recording this, I think we're in the first couple of days of Hanukkah.
We are. Yesterday or the day before, I was listening to the radio, and they were, like, all about Hanukkah, and It was pretty cool to listen about it. Mm-hmm. It's legit.
I've been seeing a lot of TikToks on it.
Yeah. I've got a few friends that have been posting about their celebrations for that this year, and I thought that was pretty cool. If I could do anything this year, and I could actually afford it, I would like to do one of those, like, drive-through lights things. Because growing up, that was, like, a really fun thing that we used to do. And that would be, like, the only thing I could see us do. Like, when I say drive-through lights, I mean an actual, like, the one that's in Arundel County, or where you just, like, drive your car through a whole thing designated for that. Mm-hmm. Not going by a person's house or going to a church like we did last year. That was traumatizing. We go to the church parking lot. We listen to the radio for, like, 2 seconds. We're like, why are we here? This was not a good decision.
No, bad plan.
Bad decision. Oh, you finally got to make your hot cocoa.
Yeah, so I don't know if Midgey listens to this, but my friend that I met in high school, when she moved to our state, her nickname is Midgey because she is pocket-sized. And her whole family, they're chefs and bakers and make us glorious treats during mm-hmm. the holiday season. And a couple years ago, she made me hot cocoa. So every couple of years when I have a hankering for it, I ask her for the recipe again to make this hot cocoa mix. And I asked her for it the other day, and I was like, oh, I have all the ingredients. And I was like, it requires dry milk powder mm-hmm. as part of the base. And I was like, I don't usually use this, so I wasn't sure if it was still good, because it was a little old. But, like, with some baking stuff, you can use it past the date. Yeah. It just, some stuff you can, some stuff you can't, and I'm not a big enough baker to know about this dry milk powder. So I'm like, I'm going to try it, and we'll see. And I made a cup, and I was like, nope, that is absolutely atrocious. So I threw that away, and then I went to our big warehouse store and got a big bag of new dried milk and made this recipe. And now it is very, very delicious. And I am super excited about it.
Do you want to share what the recipe is?
I am going to.
Cool.
Hopefully, if she does listen, she's not going to murder me. It's not like a grandma's secret recipe.
Oh, that'd be terrible.
It's okay. She's already stabbed me once by accident, or maybe on purpose, but either way, we're still friends, so.
The first time I met her, there was a whole scuffle about Leah's knives and swords.
Oh, yeah. So, like, if I die, I was like, yeah, they can go to Eliza. And Midgey was like, no, they're for me. And I'm like, no, there is a specific clause in here that if I die under mysterious circumstances or suspicious circumstances, you don't get anything. But anyway, so the hot cocoa recipe is to make the mix itself. It's 1¾ cups of non-fat dry milk powder, 1 cup of sifted 10x sugar, but I just use granulated sugar, 1/2 cup of powdered non-dairy creamer, and 1/4 cup of sifted unsweetened cocoa powder. And then you can add things to that base recipe if you want. So if you are making it like as presents for someone, you could add mini marshmallows and put it in like a pretty mason jar. Or you could use crushed up candy canes, or you can use chocolate chips, yeah. Which is what I put in mine because that was just my favorite of the couple types she gave me. And then when it's all mixed in your container, you use 1/3 cup per drink that you're making, and then you just add boiling water to it.
That's a suggestion. That is not how she drinks it.
Yeah, I just,
I'm just saying.
I never want to have to clean a measuring cup. So I just wing it using a tablespoon that I'm going to stir it with, and I put like,
I'm just trying to tell them,
heaping scoops.
If 1/3 cup isn't enough mix for you, there's no shame in it. I remember in Honolulu when I would work overnights, graveyard shift, my one supervisor, he would tell me that hot cocoa is better than coffee. I disagree, but nonetheless.
They have their time and place.
They have their time and place. I like both, but you couldn't have just one packet of hot cocoa in a single serving of liquid. You had to have at least two packets in a single serving of liquid. Otherwise, in his opinion, it was absolute shit. And to to this day, I strongly agree with that because I've tasted the difference and I'm like, yeah, it's not watered down chocolate. It's actual hot chocolate when you have two packets in there. So I'm just trying to say to the listeners, if you need more than 1/3 of a cup of what this is, we ain't judging. We understand.
Right. Also, we do use much larger mugs than a normal coffee cup. So I take into account the size of your drinking vessel.
And while she's drinking hot cocoa at night, I am drinking tea with a shit ton of honey in it because that is how I do.
Yes. An absurd amount. So I usually make the tea for her. And I don't measure things. I don't follow directions. I don't measure things. So if you haven't figured that out by now, shame on you. But I usually just wing how much honey I put in her tea and she loves it. And then she tried making herself tea the one day and used what she thought was like a right amount of honey and was very disappointed in the tea. And I was like, well, how much honey did you put in it? And you were like, a spoon worth or something. And I was like, no.
I don't know why I did that.
It needs to be like the whole bottom of the cup.
Well, here's the other thing. She always gives me shit. You always give me shit about how much honey I put in my cups. So for once, I was like, maybe I'll be a good bear and not put so much honey in there. And it'll be fine. It was not fine. It was terrible.
No, because I know how you take your tea. That's why I also put that absurd amount of honey in
there. I like an absurd amount of honey. And when it comes to pancakes or waffles or anything like that, real maple syrup. That's how I feel. I like my maple syrup. I went snowboarding in New Hampshire once. And I remember stopping at a diner. And they had these little glass leaves full of maple syrup. And it was so adorable. It made me so happy. I love maple syrup. You can dip your bacon in it. You can dip your eggs in it. You can dip your schnossages in it.
Schnossages!
You can dip pretty much anything in maple syrup and it might taste pretty fucking good. Just saying.
Put it on your brie, your baked brie.
Yeah. Anyway.
Down the bunny hole and back out. So let's hit our reminders, everyone. Make sure to check out our art for this week's entities on our Instagram at Coffee Table Mythos. If you want to share any art of your own, make sure to use our hashtag Coffee Table Mythos so we and our followers can check them out. As always, if you have any stories or requests, email us at coffeetablemythos@gmail.com. Remember to mention if you want a shout out of either a name or a handle and where to find you, or if you would like to remain anonymous. Remember, we still have not received any emails about what to do for our grab bag week at the end of January. We are waiting.
It could be.
With bated breath.
And it doesn't have to be an email. It could also be an instant message.
Yeah, we will answer on Instagram as well.
Mm-hmm.
And also on Facebook.
Yes, if you find our Facebook page, which there is one.
Coffee Table Mythos.
Coffee Table Mythos. It's really not hard to find.
Yeah, so send us if any kind of creature outside of the normal Celtic, Greek, Norse, or Japanese pantheons, and we will look it up and research it and do an episode on it.
Check out our merch on Teespring at teespring.com/store/coffee-table-mythos. We are adding more listings as we research more beings and make more art. If you would like to donate to us, you can on anchor.fm/coffeetablemythos, or you can become a patron through patreon.com/coffeetablemythos. For right now, all donations will go to make this podcast better. Thank you so much for listening. Please give us a like, follow, subscribe, share, and review our podcast if you have the time. We are interested in what you have to say. This is Coffee Table Mythos. We'll catch you next time.